Welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a smooth So Monday edition of the Rodcast. That's when my co-host Patrick Davis, he plays jams intended to soothe the tortured soul of sports fans who might have had a tough weekend. And that was not the case for Longhorns. Definitely the case for the Aggies out there. Tough weekend, tough loss to the Longhorns. Not the case for the Texans. They get a win over the Jags. The Cowboys get a win this holiday weekend. So we'll get into some NFL discussion coming up. But thanks to my man Patrick for all of his efforts for a smooth So Monday. We also appreciate him coming up with the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day. And that is something that will get posted for you. Actually, it's already posted for you. Patrick, what is the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day?
Who was the MVP for Texas against Texas A&M? We gave you three options there on the poll. If you got another one, you can feel free to share it on the text line, 512-447-3776, or up there on X as well, at the Horn ATX. Trey Wisner, Vernon Braun, and Michael Taft are the three names we gave you there.
It's going to be Trey Wisner already voted. It's going to be Quintravion, sorry. You know, I'm going to call him Quintravion for the day because he deserves it. I don't even know if he likes Quintravion or prefers Trey. I'm going to call him Quintravion because his mama called him Quintravion. Also, Mr. Wisner would be acceptable considering what he's done in the last 2 weeks. So 344 yards, almost 60 rushes. Yeah, he's my MVP of that game, no doubt. You know, and we talked about this on, strangely enough, we had a big Trey Wisner conversation on the last show last week. We had Nick Shuley in for Setlist ATX. We were talking about, I brought up the Jarrett Gibson NIL deal, that he's got a Maserati deal.
Yeah.
Jarrett Gibson does. And Fancy Boots, shout out to Fancy Boots, because she actually contributed to the conversation as well. And we were talking about how we didn't think Trey Wisner had an NIL deal of any kind, especially not with a car company. And I believe all the research that was done by any of us, nobody found that he had a deal with a car company. And I don't know if Maserati fits Trey Wisner's personality. So maybe it could be something else, something a little bit more reliable, something a little bit more dependable that maybe fits Trey Wisner's personality. But I think, can we all agree now, it is time to get this man an NIL deal with some car company? Let's get it done.
He get NIL deal with whatever he wants.
Yeah, the Maserati thing doesn't really fit. I mean, yeah, he can get a Maserati if he wants to, but I don't know. That fits Trey Wisner. He should be able to get what he wants. But I remember he said he should get a tricked-out van. I believe that's what we came up with. He should get one of those tricked-out van.
Very reliable van.
Yeah. But it's got to be tricked out. It's got to be really fly. Like you said, it's like Pimp My Ride kind of thing. And at that point, I believe Fancy Boots sent us a picture, at least sent it to me, and I sent it to you guys. There's a Toyota, I believe Hiace is how it's pronounced, and it's a luxury van. Like, it's just a luxury van. Like, you mom's got to have a driver for this thing. It's so damn luxurious. And if that's the case, hey, man, maybe that's the way to go. I don't know I don't know what kind of deal he needs to get, a car deal, but give the man a deal. Yeah, reliable pickup truck, whatever it is, something that fits Trey Wise, because at this point, the man deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
It's more than deserving. Can't believe I don't know how it works. I don't know. I'm sure there is, because now they got a GM, so I'm sure they have their version of a capologist, because it's not a salary cap, but someone who manages the NIL funds and how they're distributed and the NIL deals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it also depends. I know some of these guys are represented by people, and some of them probably are not. So if you're not represented by somebody, then you're probably not going up and asking for too much. So then
it's true. Better get your representative. Get you an agent.
So who knows how it all works? But yeah, I'm assuming, you know, some of these guys, you have someone constantly in your corner kind of looking for deals and looking for things, versus if you're just waiting for things in life, sometimes you don't get what you want.
Damn right, that's true. Closed mouth don't get fed. But Trey Wisner is eating, that's for damn sure.
He is, he is.
Yeah, so we'll get to some more Texas football, because when we get into Raj Rand, I want to dive into some of the stuff I saw in the actual rewatch, and we'll get into, you know, the Arch Manning package. Matter of fact, we'll hear from Sark talking about the Arch Manning package. I thought that was a brilliant tendency breaker for Sark, and I always say to win big games, you got to break tendency. That was certainly a way to do it. So we'll get to that and talk some more Texas, Texas A&M, and some college football as well. There apparently there's a new craze going around college football, especially, and I think it definitely reared its ugly head here during rivalry week. So we'll get to that too. And it started some fisticuffs and some altercations and a little bit of a melee over the weekend. So we'll get to that and talk about it. We'll also have coming up, we'll get what the facts, what the stats. That'll be coming up later on in this segment. And we got your Horn headlines here. Then we'll come back, talk some NFL news, notes and nuggets, talk about the Texans, talk about the Cowboys a little bit. But first, let's get educated. Let's get updated. Let's get informed with all the top stories of the day with Patrick Davis and our Horn headlines.
All right, your Horn headline is brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the NBA, the Rockets topped the Thunder 119-116 yesterday, with Fred VanVleet having his season high of 38 points. The Mavericks played well in Luka Doncic's return from injury, 137-131, with Luka scoring 36 points. And the Spurs edged out a 127-125 win over the Kings, with Victor Wembanyama getting a triple-double with 24 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. In college basketball, Texas men's beat Delaware State 90-68 over the weekend. Trey Johnson led the Horns in scoring with 21 points, and Caden Shedrick added a double-double with 14 points and 11 rebounds. They're back in action Wednesday against NC State. The Longhorn women took home the Gulf Coast Showcase Championship, knocking off number 12 West Virginia 78-73 in the final game, led by Aaliyah Moore with 20 points and Madison Booker with 19. Their next matchup comes Thursday against number 3 Notre Dame. In college football, Texas finished regular season play with a 17-7 win over Texas A&M. The win propels Texas into the SEC Championship game on Saturday in a return matchup with Georgia. Elsewhere, Michigan upset Ohio State 13-10, Syracuse took down Miami 42-38, and South Carolina knocked off Clemson 17-14. Texas moved up to number 2 in the latest AP poll. In the NFL, the Cowboys got their first home win of the season on Thanksgiving, beating the Giants 27-20, with DeMarvion Overshawn getting his first pick six of his career. The Texans held on to pick up a 23-21 over the Jaguars after a late hit took Trevor Lawrence out of the game, and Joe Mixon once again rushed for over 100 yards in the game. Tonight, the Browns take on the Broncos in Denver on Monday Night Football, and that is your Horn headlines.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn headlines. Yeah, so DeMarvion Overshawn had a career game in that Thanksgiving matchup versus the Giants. 9 tackles. He had an interception, returned for a touchdown, and he had a fumble recovery. So he had a hell of a day. And we've all heard the jokes, the inside joke about DeMarvion Overshawn, because they still refer to him as Agent Zero. The Cowboys players do. Remember, that was his nickname on the 40 Acres, Agent Zero, because he wore zero. And now he may end up getting number zero. Now, the reason that he can't get number zero is because the mascot, Rowdy, I believe is his name, he wears the zeros, the double zero, and that's why DeMarvion Overshawn isn't allowed to wear zero. That is not a fake story. That's true. That's real. But DeMarvion Overshawn really wants it. I don't know. He's sure he's got his own sentimental, inspirational reasons for it. But now Michael Parsons is also joining the fight. So there's a good chance Overshawn could get it. First of all, you got to keep playing the way he's playing, because he's playing at a really high level. And he'll end up, you know, he's the starting linebacker for them going forward. And if he continues to impress, you know, I think he'll earn a certain place, a special place in Jerry Jones's heart. But here's what Michael Parsons said after the game. That's Agent Zero. He's going back to zero. And then Overshawn was right next to him. He's like, please. And then Parsons said, I'm going to make the call for you, man.
I mean,
so and he just said, I'm making the call for you.
Let's also be clear about how petty this is.
Mike and Jerry are close. We know that.
Let's see how petty this is. Rowdy's 0-0. He's a double zero.
He is double zero.
So Overshawn just zero.
I don't know why, but that's Overshawn said that's the reason that he was.
I believe it. I believe 100% that's the reason. But I'm also saying, come on, Jerry. You don't even have to change Rowdy's, like, because they're two different numbers. 0-0 and 0 are two different numbers.
0-0. Yeah. Hey, Jerry don't want no. Hey, you don't want people to get confused, all right?
You're right. That's for Rowdy. Right. When sometimes you see Overshawn out there, you're like, is that Rowdy? Do we see Rowdy yet?
It's for the kids, man. It's for the kids. I don't know. Like I said, either way, I think he'll end up getting zero. Even because I think it's ridiculous, number one. But because, hey, if Michael's on your side, and Michael said he'll make the call, Michael's going to make the call.
Because
Mike and Jerry talk a lot. Probably too much for a player and the owner to talk. Honestly.
Yeah, Jerry's going to have to – that'll be some good press around Christmas.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, Jerry will make a spectacle out of it somehow.
Yeah.
He'll try to get some – yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's just – hey, that's good, though. Hey, if you're DeMario Rinoso, that's good for your next contract.
Yes.
That'd be good for your next contract discussion. The fact that Micah Parsons is making calls about, yo, DeMarvio Show's playing really well. I mean, Micah had a great game. The Cowboys had, what, 6 sacks in that game. And Micah looks amazing. I mean, he really does. He's back to, he looks like back to his usual dominant self. Cowboys playing hard. Like I said, I don't know what they're playing for. They're kind of just playing themselves out of great draft position, but that's okay. They playing for pride at this point. The Cowboys are always doing stuff that is kind of counter to the overall good of the organization, and this is one of those things. But, hey, I mean, it's good for the locker room. The culture of the locker room, the leadership in that locker room, they're finding ways to get it done. Let's talk a little bit about the Texans. Oh, man, they almost did it again. You know, the Texans have had, what, how many blown fourth-quarter leads already this year? Four blown fourth-quarter leads, and they were up 23-6 on the Jags. And, Trevor Lawrence ends up getting knocked out of the game. I don't know what's up with Azeez Al-Shaair. He's got like some aggression issues. There's multiple times now where he has had hits that are questionable.
Yeah.
In terms of his judgment. And that one, he deserved to get kicked out of the game.
Oh, 100%.
That hit he laid on Trevor. That was malicious, man. It really was. And I know that D'Amico Ryans has said that he does it. That's not an indictment on his character and him as a player, and I'm not saying it is, but he does have multiple. Now there are like 4 or 5 questionable hits that he's had like that, some penalized, some not, so far this season. He's just going after guys. That's the way he plays. He does play with a vicious style, but some people would call it dirty. It's kind of a fine line, yeah. I guess. But either way, Trevor Lawrence okay. He was obviously ruled out of that game. Mac Jones came in and rallied the troops. Hell, they were up 23-6 with 12 minutes left in the game, and looked like, especially because they was running the football, and the Texans have really good defense. But Mac Jones, he rallied the troops, led touchdown drives in that final 12 minutes and made the game really brought him back and made it really close. They were playing a lot of zone coverage, which he was just picking apart early on. Then they started to play some man later on. But give Mac Jones some credit. Came back and made it close. Texans won it 23-20, but it was way closer than it needed to be. And once again, proving my point about the Texans, I said last week, because the Jaguars are not a good team. I don't know if the Texans are a good team or a bad team. And that game just showed the reason why. I don't know if they're a good or a bad team. They could beat the best of the NFL has to offer on any given Sunday. I truly believe that. I play with them. We saw that because they beat the Bills. And the Bills, after putting a whipping, an Old Testament out butt whipping on the 49ers, we'll talk about the Bills a little bit too. They're riding high. Josh Allen is probably now back in the lead for the MVP conversation with the way that he's playing, the way the Bills are playing. And they beat the Bills. It made Josh Allen look as pedestrian as he's looked all season long. They played, wire to wire with the Detroit Lions. Probably should have beat them. Made Jared Goff look bad, but also lose to the Jets, lose to the Titans a couple of weeks ago, and should have beat the Jaguars by double digits because you're up 23-6, 12 minutes left, but allow a backup quarterback in Mac Jones to lead that team back, score 2 touchdowns in the final 12 minutes, and make it a ball game. CJ managed them to a win. That's as best way I can describe it. CJ, he was not bad at all. He actually, I thought, was really good managing a lot of the chaos, managing them to win. And they did have Joe Mixon, who ran really well. He had over 100 yards again. And, basically, I think, what was CJ? 242 yards. Yeah. 22 or 34. So it was actually, he managed the game. There was nothing spectacular about it, but he won the game with the responsible way in which he managed it. Not a lot of mistakes. They only allowed 2 sacks, so he avoided sacks. He avoided a lot of negative plays and just was able to keep the chains moving and keep, even when they started coming back and they had their kind of almost near meltdown in the fourth quarter, CJ and the offense still were able to move the football enough to hold on to the win. But like I said, it was almost a disaster for the Texans. Nearly.
Yeah. No,
but
I mean,
they avoided it.
That's what that thing that's hard with Azeez Al-Shaair is, because he does these dumb things to get himself thrown out of these games and, you know, probably going to be suspended just because of the backlash of everything he did. And, I mean, it's just, you can't have that hit. He's such an important piece because he's D'Amico Ryans on the field. And he's that mouthpiece on the field, and now you lose that. That's going to be a big hit, because you could tell in the second half when he wasn't there after that hit. That's one of the reasons why they were able to start to get things going on the defensive end. Because the offense, yeah, it wasn't electric. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It's been bad in weeks past. You had 3 penalties for 15 yards in the game. You had, you know, you only allowed 2 sacks, so you expect a game like that, you'd be pulling away, which they were. And then you just let Jacksonville back into the game when the defense had some injuries, and now they're let back in. And it, again, just shows you the inconsistency of the Texans, what you've been seeing all season long, that you don't know where you can count on it on any given day, in any given quarter. You don't know who you can count on and not count on. They're going into the bye week now, and
they need it.
And they need it really bad. And it'll be interesting to see if there's any changes, any shakeup, because it feels like you need something to get you through, because you're hanging on by a thread. And it could either pull yourself back up in this bye week and you reset and refocus and you come out and looking good and aim, because there's still a lot of talent on this team, and you aim the right direction going into a really tough stretch of games, or it just falls apart. Bottom falls out and you finish the season real bad, and now D'Amico's on the hot seat. Bobby Slowick's gone. Everybody's worried about everybody. You don't know what you're going to do in free agency. Caserio now has to pull back on the going all in. That, you know, Dad decides, you know, he doesn't have the blank check anymore that he kind of got from Cal and the McNairs to go out and get a Stephon Diggs and try and get a Joe Mixon and give them contracts and work all that out. That maybe goes out the window if now there's a lot more questions of this team. Is it ready to get it done? So it's a huge bye week for the Texans now getting out of that game.
Yeah, and they actually, remember, they started really early too, 'cause they started with the Hall of Fame game, right? Didn't it? They started early, and I believe this is the latest. They have one of the latest bye weeks in the NFL. This is actually one of the later bye weeks, so they need it desperately. I'm with you. I'm not sure coming out how the Texans are going to handle the last stretch of the schedule. Like I said, I think they could play with the Kansas Cities of the world and the Baltimores of the world, and I think they could lose to. And they got Miami left on the schedule. I mean, they could lose that Miami game, and they could lose, obviously, to Kansas City and Baltimore. I think that's expected from a lot of people. I just don't have a lot of faith that the Texans are going to be able to put out a product to win a playoff. They won a playoff game last year. That's the crazy thing about it.
Yeah,
you almost forget that.
They did.
You almost forget they won a playoff game.
They did.
Year.
It was a really good defense they beat, but it was the Browns with Joe Flacco.
It's true. It was. But they still won a playoff game.
They did win a playoff
game. Have a lot of faith in them winning a playoff game this year.
I don't have a faith in winning another game this season. So that's what I'm saying is I have zero faith in this team. Now, do I think they could? Yes. I think they could win a playoff game for sure. But I have zero faith in this team right now because I have no faith in the offensive play calling. I have no faith in the offensive line still. I think C.J. Stroud is still a good player but having a little bit of a sophomore slump, and he's just trying to figure it out. But And then defensively, I think there's still struggles that they've been having in places, and depending on if they can stay and, you know, not knock themselves out of games with stupid penalties and things like that, you just don't know, because you don't know which team is showing up quarter to quarter.
Yeah. I know that was a clean game, though. See, they can just play clean like that offensively. I think the defense should, but you're right. Late, especially when Azeez Al-Shaair left, they started to crumble a little bit and show they can be exploited. But usually, you can count on the defense to be pretty consistent. And they had no turnovers. That's key if you're gonna kind of lead led by the defense. Running game was able to be effective for them. Only allowed 2 sacks. Also important, 1 offensive penalty. Yeah. On offense.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
on offense.
That's what kills you, is you were playing complimentary football finally. You're handing the ball off to Joe Mixon. He's starting to get some runs. Your offense started playing complimentary football to your better defense, who's playing really well. And then your defense decides to screw it up, and they can start playing worse and let Mac Jones start going down the field on you. And that was a problem, as you said. You finally, like, that was the way you wanted to see a play call and the way this offense play and not screw it up for the defense. And then the defense, it screws it up and almost cost you the game. That's where the problem lies, is you just don't feel the consistency as a team as a whole week to week, where you go, this is our strength, this is what we can do, this is, if we do this, we'll win. I don't know if you have if we do this, we win, because it's everybody that just kind of gets undisciplined at points on this team. You get up 20 points, and they all start thinking about what they're eating for dinner.
They definitely, especially when Mac Jones was in there, like, all right, man, this is done. All right, I'm sure they got distracted, and it showed. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, offense, I think they may have found some of the formula that they need. Just play clean and – you know, don't, the self-inflicted wounds, the penalties we talk about. I mean, this was the second most penalized team in the NFL going into that game, and yet they played clean. They usually give up a lot of sacks and pressures. They only allowed 2 sacks in that game. They usually, you know, turnovers are an issue, or at least they have been for C.J. Stroud lately. You know, no turnovers for him. Only had 1 touchdown, but still, I mean, if you can play clean in a defense, which usually – you can count on to limit offenses. I think that may be the recipe for the Texans. Just stay out of your own way. They can do that. You know, they got a shot damn near against anybody. But lately, they've been their own worst enemy. So we'll get into some more NFL news on Nuggets, because I want to talk about some of the other action that we saw. But we got Raj Rant coming up. Coming up next, we'll talk Texans. Oh, sorry, we'll talk about the Texas Longhorns and their matchup against the Aggies. And yes, we will have our big announcement coming up in Raj Rant. We'll do that one on the other side, right here on Raj Rant. We'll have Raj Rant coming up next, right here on the Rodcast, featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite
and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
You've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get into Rod's Rant of the Day. Before we talk some Texas football here, I'll tell you what I saw on the rewatch of the Texas-Texas A&M game. Announcement that we need to get into here really quickly. And you guys know there have been some changes, of course, on the horn over the last year or so. We've tried our best to kind of keep things rolling, but it's been difficult, of course, because of management has not been able to really generate enough revenue to keep things rolling as we would have liked. Of course, now we've gone streaming, gone digital. That was the plan, to try our best to try to, you know, adapt to kind of the new entertainment ecosystem. It has not worked successfully. We've been told by management and by those who are in charge that this is the last broadcast for the horn, period. Mm-hmm. Now, it ain't the end of Patrick and myself. We are still going to try our best to be available. We love doing what we do, and we love talking to you guys. So, you know, of course, we'll try our best to try to be available on some other platform. My plan is to try to do the Rodcast in some podcast format of some kind with Patrick, if we can do that. So that's something that we're working on. But as of today, this will be the last broadcast on the horn, period. So not the end of Patrick and I, not the end of the Rodcast. As you know, the Rodcast has been around in many different forms, on many different formats and platforms, but it will be the end of the horn as we know it. So apologize for, obviously, the how abrupt that announcement is. I didn't want to kind of throw that on everybody at the beginning of the morning. That's a bit of a downer. It's going to buzzkill. So didn't want to do that. Wanted to talk about Texas and talk some other things, but we've been told that. I was told they tried their best to, you know, work out some other arrangements, you know, try to sell sell things to try to keep this show alive or keep obviously the horn alive in some way, even if they had to, you know, transform it into something else. But all those efforts were unsuccessful. So our apologies, guys. We appreciate all of you guys. Thanksgiving was appropriate around this time because we're very thankful that all of you stuck with us, those who did and those who didn't. We totally understand, too. That's something that, you know, we don't hold personal. We understand that your time is valuable, and we're glad you could spend it with us. So, you know, any details about where we're going to be next, Patrick and myself, we will relay those to you guys on social media. You guys know it's Patrick Davis, and I'm at Rod Davis, so we'll try our best to do that to you. But as of right now, this is the last broadcast on the horn. Proud to be, you know, I guess going down with the ship, if you will, because I was really proud of what the horn had accomplished. I thought at one point the horn was the best sports radio station, you know, probably in Central Texas. And I was proud to be a part of that. Of course, you know, decisions that were made outside of our control led to where we are now. And it is what it is. So our apologies, guys, but thank you guys so much. That's, I think, the message here is, we are very grateful for you guys for sticking with us for so long.
I mean, we probably wouldn't have been able to stick around as long as we have if it wasn't for you guys and continuing to tune in and continuing to support us. So really do appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, you guys will stick around and be there for the next iteration that Rod and I are both behind the scenes trying to make some stuff happen and get ready on the next venture of the Rodcast.
Yeah. Yeah, no worries. Like I said, I appreciate everybody. I know it's going to be, you know, a difficult, I think, transition for some, because I know we kind of gotten a part of some people's routine. So that actually means a lot to us.
Yeah.
So already getting some text. So appreciate you guys. I know it's a bit of a bummer. Cause I probably should have started the show with it, but I didn't want to start the show with that. And then we, you know, basically awkwardly have to go through the entire show trying to talk Texas football or Cowboys or Texans with that elephant in the room. So I've enjoyed working with Patrick. Patrick is, I mean, he's, trust me, guys, he's a true professional. He's one of the more gifted, talented folks I've ever worked with. And I've been in this industry now 15 years in some way, form, or fashion. And worked with a lot of great people and a lot of really talented people. Patrick, you are at the top of that list, brother. So
I appreciate that. You know, I've got been lucky enough to work with you different places, and it is definitely it's always a joy. You know, I would not want to wake up at 4 a.m. and hang out with anybody else.
Yeah, there you go. It is, I agree
it
with
is
you
a joy
that.
Doing it
that
with well you. Done. So I look we'll forward see. To what we do in the future, but I'm excited. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And again, for everybody who's listening in the sports complex and everything at the Horn, I appreciate the Horn giving me the opportunity to be here. And then we'll look on to the next one, and you know, we'll try and not be gone very long, because we know it is an important time for Texas football and Texas basketball and everything else going on. So we'll try and keep it going as fast as we can.
Yeah, I'm glad we could be on during football season. That was important. Yes. I haven't missed a football season since I started doing this in, what was it, 2000? Ooh, man, it's 2008, I believe, was my first year, maybe in 2008, somewhere around there. I haven't missed a Texas football season on the air in some way, form, or fashion. And didn't want to do that. And this may be, you know, you're talking about maybe a national championship winning season.
Yeah,
so
and no.
I'm
and that's
grateful
I say.
To the
you
horn
can't...
for fighting the good fight. And it was all about just trying to, you know, make sure we can bring you guys some type of a good product. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Everybody knows, you know, you cannot have Texas football conversation without Rob Babers on some way or another, because there's no one who does it better in the whole damn country.
Hey, man, I appreciate that, brother. Means a lot to me. And I appreciate the, you know, the text, and thank you guys for reaching out. It means a lot. Like I said, it's best part of this job is, you know, kind of basically coming on here, talking to you guys. It's all the other stuff behind the scenes, which we don't have a lot of control of.
Yeah.
That's not, trust me, that is not the good part of the job. Best part of this job, though, is coming on here and being able to talk sports with you guys. So I appreciate everything, and thanks to Patrick. Patrick, you've, like I said, you've made this job really easy. Because of how talented you are, I give Patrick a lot. Patrick comes up with all like his own creative projects, and I throw a lot at Patrick, and pretty much I got the easy job, which is coming on here talking, and then Patrick has to talk in addition to doing all the other stuff. to make the show sound really well produced and to do a great job. So thanks, Patrick, man. You are the real MVP. I don't just say that every morning. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. All right. Also, grateful to you guys. Let's get back to Texas football conversation. Yes, we'll make the announcement again for those who didn't hear it. I get it. And I'm, like I said, sorry to you guys and grateful to you guys as well because it's, like I said, it lasted. Yeah, probably a lot longer than I thought it would last. Yeah. I'm talking about after we started making changes and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we, Patrick and I were told, you know, that, hey, it was kind of a month-to-month thing.
Yeah.
Like, they said, like, hey, you guys want to stick on? We're like, well, I'm going to abandon the listeners if, you know, if they're still listening. And you guys were still listening. That's what the numbers said. So Patrick and I was like, all right, we'll go. As long as they're listening, we'll do it. And as long as we can do it financially, if it's something that actually is something that we could execute, we'll stick around for it. So we wanted to essentially, Patrick and I, we knew that things were going to, you know, most likely end. There was some Hail Marys I think we were throwing late to each other. But essentially we were the band playing on the Titanic and we knew it. And it was all good. Like that's what we signed up for.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad for us.
Let's put it this way. Texas won, so we were happy to come back on a Monday and talk about Texas beating
Texas. That's kind of what, I just wanted to come on and talk Texas football, really. I just wanted a place to talk Texas football. And I was like, are you going to do something else? Like, well, I'm just going to talk Texas football every day with these fine folks, and that's really my passion. And the people, you know, they make an appointment listening, and that means a lot to us. It meant a lot to Patrick, too, and we didn't want to let you guys down. So thanks for not letting us down, and thanks for sticking with us. All right, let's get back to Texas, and my rewatch and what I saw. So I always say to win big games, you got to break tendency. Got to break tendency to win big games because there's, especially at this point in the season, right, you're 12 games in. There's so much preparation. There's so much game planning done. There's so much film out there, such a big sample size out there. We know who you are at this point. We talk about this with Texas. We know who Texas is at this point, don't you? And we break it down every day. We break it down every week. We know what the identity of the team is. We know what elements of the team you can trust, the patterns, the tendencies. But so do other teams. They got guys just like Rod B sitting in rooms. They got like 50 to 100 Rod B's sitting in rooms all looking up patterns and tendency, trying to figure out what you do in certain situations, right, and what you fall back on in certain situations. And at this point in season, that's why it's important to flip that information, to make it work against them, to make those trends and patterns work against them, to make it almost misinformation. This is the chess match within the game. And God bless Sark. He did it. The Arch Manning package is probably the biggest example or the most glaring example of a tendency breaker. Yes, Arch has played, but when Quinn is healthy, you don't see Arch in the game in critical moments. He may play after they've blown him out, but it's Arch's game. It's Quinn's game. It's Quinn's game. And Arch is relegated to being the backup quarterback for him to put that package out there. And shout out to, man, Coach Shipley actually brought this up when I was talking to him. He's like, man, they should put an Arch Manning package out there. You know, it'd be a nice change of pace. That's why he's a coach. I didn't think Sark would do it. Sark always says, we don't major in the quarterback run game. He says it over and over. He almost says it mockingly. Quarterback run game. We don't major in that here. You know what I mean? That's not what we do. So even if you know Sark, which we do very well, it's something you haven't seen, and it doesn't necessarily align with his personality as an offensive coordinator. But in this game, a big game, break tendency. And he did it with it was out of 12 personnel. They put one Davis in the backfield to give you a two-back look. Tackled over, by the way. Twins to the field, to the tackle over side, tackle over to the field. I know you guys watch a lot of Sark. How often you heard me come on here and talk about tackle over unbalanced formations? Well, tackle over is when you bring the tackle. They took the left tackle and they brought him over to the right side. So essentially they had center to the right side to the field, center, right guard, right tackle, left tackle on that side. Twins to that side as well. Talk about super unbalanced. And one Davis in the backfield with a back in the backfield. And to the boundary side, Gunner Helm at the tight end in line and a left guard. Freaky stuff. So I think that was like multiple tendency breakers in one. And if you're Mike Elko, how can you prepare for a tendency breaker? You can. You could But then you're chasing ghosts with the limited time you have in practice and in meetings. And that's irresponsible as a coach. Chasing ghosts is irresponsible. I would say don't chase ghosts. Don't start making up potential things that your opponent's going to do. Maybe you could be ready for the arch. But once they saw the arch package, they were ready for it then, right? They didn't get them. Texas didn't get them with it again after that. They were ready for it every time. They're like, nah, we're ready for the arch package. Matter of fact, saw a couple times put arch out there. And was like, nah, let's bring him back. Bring Quinn back out there. Because, that's their tendency break. It's not going to give you an advantage all throughout the game. If you're going up against a good opponent, they're going to make the necessary adjustments. But think about how big that touchdown was. How big was that? And they put him in there just to get a first down. And Arch went beast mode on you.
Yeah.
And ended up being a 15-yard touchdown run. He's like, oh, which one? The first down. Touchdown run? So think about how big that play was. Huge. And so that's the best example of it. I think also Sark, I thought, was more reliant early on in the game. Early game, early down pass rate, I thought, was lower. Usually Sark is hovering around 60%. We talk about this, 60% or higher. Early game, that's first half. Early down, first and second down pass rate. He was pretty even. He was below 60% early game, early down pass rate. And usually there's a reason for that. There versus ULM, that was the case, and I believe that was Arch's first start, right? So maybe that was the case for that, right? Oklahoma, that was the case, but remember that Quinn started shaky. So they were like, nah, let's go to the running game. I don't know if Quinn looked a little shaky right now. So I think he was going to something a little bit safer, less risky, potentially to start that game, because I think Quinn started, it was a sack early on and interception early on for Quinn in that game versus Oklahoma. So Sark went to the running game to try to stabilize things. The Kentucky game, I believe, also was one of the cases. But remember, the Kentucky game was we talked about it. To me, I believe that was the moment where Sark realized the running game had matured. And we saw that, how they stopped the bleeding after a disastrous third quarter, and they ran the ball with 18 straight times on one of those drives to close out that game. But in A&M, it happened too, and I think it's also to do that on the road, that was Sark having confidence that his running game would travel. And that's a bit of a tendency breaker. Sark usually leads in big games. He leads with the pass early on, especially if he's got a healthy enough Quinn, and Quinn was healthy enough. Hell, he was mobile and running around. That's also kind of a tendency breaker of how mobile Quinn was. I don't think A&M was prepared for how mobile he was. I think the report, I think they believed the hype, and the reports were that, oh no, he, I don't know if he's gonna move around at all because of that ankle. How long was the scramble? Yeah, like a 24-yard scramble.
Oh yeah,
scramble,
but he almost got
like
even
that.
More because he stepped out of bounds.
He stepped out of bounds. He should have scored. He could have scored if he didn't step out of bounds.
Can we get the sports track of that run versus Case McCoy's run and see who was slower?
The way he turned that corner, it took him forever to turn that corner. He was like,
oh man.
I'm with you. No, I agree with you. It's
upwards of 8 miles per hour.
That's how you know they didn't expect it, because they were like, there's no way. Dude, he got around the corner. And
I feel like some of the guys on that defense were just standing like, look at him go.
It's like, what?
Aren't you supposed to be chasing him? Nah, let him go.
That's why. If I know the ref stopped it, because they were like, this doesn't look right. Stop the play.
What's happening?
Stop the play. This looks wrong. But he ended up stepping out. If he did step out, you're right. He could end up going to the house on that one. So I think that also, and also the 12 personnel, they relied on a lot of 12. They were almost 50% of their snaps, nearly. They were in 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends. So Sark wanted to go a little bit heavier and pound the rock against the Aggies, and they damn sure did that. Defensively, tendency breaker, I think they had more run blitzes, I thought. I saw early on, you saw David Bender with run blitzes. You saw Michael Taft with a couple of run blitzes early on in the game. That was something that you don't really see Texas do a lot. Texas doesn't blitz a lot anyway. Matter of fact, Texas had his second lowest blitz rate of the season versus the Aggies. Speaking of tendency breakers, they're the second lowest blitz rate of the season in that game. And usually when they go up against young quarterbacks, freshman quarterback. Think about Michael Hawkins versus Oklahoma. Think about last week versus Kentucky. The young man, the backup quarterback for them, Bowley, he was a freshman. They had the highest blitz rates, second highest blitz rate of the season against that backup Kentucky quarterback. And against Michael Hawkins, Oklahoma, young quarterback, at the highest blitz rate of the season. Usually when you go up against a young quarterback, you blitz them, put more on their plate, speed up their process. Texas didn't do that with Marcel Reed. As they said on the broadcast, they actually forced him to his right consistently, which he did. He bailed to his right. He ran to his right. They forced him to his right a lot. And it worked out really well for him. But Texas didn't blitz him a ton. Look at Vernon Broughton. They got some organic pressure on them. And then a lot of the blitzes were actually run blitzes early on. So I thought that was some way they broke Tennessee. The NASCAR nickel. Remember I talk about the NASCAR dime all the time. The NASCAR dime package they use a ton on third and long and in 2-minute drill. They used a lot of the NASCAR nickel. Three defensive ends on the field, Colin Simmons, Trey Moore, or Ethan Burke, Baron Sorrell, some combination of, and then the nickel package with it. Now they have used it before. I think I saw it more versus A&M than I've seen it in any game so far this season, in my opinion, the nickel package. All right, I want to also break down this Taft play, the Taft interception. I'll tell you why it was such a brilliant play, and I'll get to that. And by the way, on both sides, it was a brilliant play by the Aggies too, and I'll tell you why that is the case. But it was more the awareness, the football IQ, the preparation by the Longhorns that shine through, and I'll explain that. So we'll do that. I'll probably do it in 8 o'clock. We'll do it and start the 8 o'clock hour when we talk Texas because we won't have enough time. We'll go what the facts, what the stats coming up next. All of that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
With all due respect, what the facts?
Statistics.
I'm stating facts.
When I'm go ahead and check the stats, yeah. Numbers gone, it's a fact, yeah. Go ahead and check the stats, yeah.
The lights, that's facts.
Statistics.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get into some what the facts, what the stats here. How about this one? Josh Allen, after his performance last night, he is the third player in the last 20 years to hit a triple crown in a game, basically a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown. The play where he basically they have him, the NFL has him, and I don't know if they changed it. This was as of 10 hours ago, they had him with a TD pass to himself after the Amari Cooper pitch. He caught the football, if those didn't see it, he caught the football, then pitched it back to Josh Allen, and Josh Allen ended up scoring a touchdown off of it. And so as a result, he's the first player in NFL history to have a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown and a rushing touchdown on just two plays. I don't even know how that works out, but that's what they have him in the stats as, a guy with a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown, but only two plays to accomplish it. Right now, Josh Allen is balling. Like, he is, I'm not going to lie, like at this point, remember the five-year rule I talk about all the time? There are a couple of teams I thought this year that may be able to, overcome the curse of the five-year rule, if you will. And for those who don't know, the five-year rule is there's no team in the NFL no head coach quarterback duo in the NFL, in NFL history, that's been able to win their first Super Bowl outside of their first 5 years together. So if they don't win it in the first 5 years, they don't win it. All right, the quarterback and head coach, which is why those two elements are so important. If they don't win it in the first five years, it hasn't happened in NFL history. The Bills are outside of that five-year window. So are the Ravens outside that five-year window with their quarterback and their head coaches. And I think those two teams potentially could break the curse. the right now the Bills look like that team. After watching Philadelphia have their way with the Ravens, I'm not sure. We said the Ravens, because of their defense, I'm not sure if the Ravens had the formula to be able to do it. Watching the Bills, though, because the Bills can score. They've dropped 30-plus in 9 different games this season. That's 2 more games than the next closest team. Bills could be that team. They got a shot. They've beaten now. So I'm beat the Chiefs. I don't know if there are a lot of teams out there that are playing at the level the Bills are, and I did not expect it. That's probably, to me, one of the biggest shocks that right now of the NFL season. I didn't expect them to be this good. I didn't expect them to be the class, essentially, of the AFC after all the changes they went through.
No, I mean, I didn't either. And, you know, just showing toughness. And we know Josh Allen is just a next-level player. But, yeah, it's really impressive to see. And I mean, I'll give credit to their general manager that he was able to go out and, you know, get some value for Stephon Diggs, give up the value, and then go back out and go get an Amari Cooper for less and bring some other guys in to fill out those holes, which maybe, you know, Amari Cooper, I don't think he's playing as well as Diggs was playing before he got hurt. I think Diggs is still a better player, but at the same part, for the value we're able to get out of it, you know, when you're getting put in that position, we talked earlier about the Texans. If Caserio maybe has to pull back a little bit on that, and you know, the Bills, we're really having to pull back because of what their salary cap was, and to be able to put yourself in a situation to still be winning right now, they've done a really good job.
It's amazing. It really is. All right, how about this stat? What the facts was that? The Chiefs ranked 21st in yards per pass attempt. They're 28th in yards per carry. They're 11-1. And they won again on like it wasn't a last possession thing, but I believe the Raiders botched a snap trying to go in for a game-winning field goal drive.
It was a game-tying field goal, right?
Game-tying field goal drive. So I didn't watch the game, but I've seen some of the highlights, I believe. So you're right. I think it was a game-tying field goal drive. And
it would have been game-winning. It would have been game-winning.
It would have been game-winning.
Because they won by 2, and,
The Raiders botched a snap. and as a result of that botched snap, Chiefs win. So it's not a last possession win. They got 5 of those, I believe, on the season. But it's another win for them where, I mean, it's almost inexplicable at this point. They were favored by 15. They won by 2. Remember the Panthers? They were favored by 11 over the Panthers. Last 5 wins, they were favored by 15 over the Raiders, won by 2. Favored by 11 over the Panthers, won by 3. Favored by 7.5 over the Broncos, won by 2. Favored by 9 over the Bucks, won in overtime. And in their other Raiders game, they were favored by 10. They won by 7. So I'm telling you, when the Texans play them, I don't know what they're going to be favored by. But, man, the Texans are going to play with the Chiefs, and they're going to play with them down to the wire. And the Chiefs are going to do what they've done all season long, which is find a way to be clutch in critical moments. They're so clutch in critical moments. Or sometimes their opponent isn't. Sometimes it's just not about how clutch they are. They are clutch in critical moments.
Yeah.
Right? Remember we talked about this against A&M for Texas. Why wasn't that game a blowout for Texas? Texas wasn't clutch in critical moments. Red zone. Right? Critical moments. Things that in situational football that you practice. Those are the critical moments you had. You actually go through different periods during practice, practicing these critical moments, this situation. And Texas wasn't great in those situations. Block punt, missed field goal. And ultimately you look up and you're like, oh, man, that ends up being turnovers in the red zone. Ends up being a 10-point win when it should have been a 20-point win. And that's the Chiefs are kind of the opposite. The Chiefs don't play great football for 3 quarters. But when it comes to clutch play in critical moments, especially in the fourth quarter, nobody's better. And that's when a lot of teams – they're at their worst, or you see their deficiencies because they don't have that clutch play in those moments. And that's when they can flip the switch because they got that championship pedigree and championship DNA. Chiefs continue, even at 11-1, I think it's the strangest and the most I would say it's the shakiest 11-1 I've seen from a team in a long time. I don't know if I've seen a team 11-1 be as shaky as this Chiefs team is, but still, as clutch as they are, I don't know if I've seen a team as clutch as they are with this 11-1 record. All right, let's get to the break. We come back. We'll dive into more Texas, Texas A&M discussion. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian and his thoughts about Texas' big win over the Aggies. We'll also get into some other topics related to the game. I haven't gotten to that Taft interception. I want to talk about why that play was so special and why, to me, I think it was the best play of the game for the Texas defense, and I'll explain that on the other side right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.